This episode of Fresh Cut Grass is brought to you by The Toro Company. For over 100 years, The Toro Company has been a leader in innovative solutions to turf maintenance. Through a strong network of professional distributors, Toro proudly offers a wide range of commercial-grade equipment. Visit Toro.com to explore their full lineup of products.
Welcome to Fresh Cut Grass, light conversation with turf grass professionals from across the turf industry, with your hosts, Jeff Fowler and Tanner DelVal.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Fresh Cut Grass. My name is Jeff Fowler, and with me, as always, my co-host, Tanner DelVal. Tanner, good to have you.
Good to be here.
So we have come to a crossroads in the production of this podcast, and it's with great misfortune and with great disappointment, I guess is the right word.
I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, we have other plans where we're what we're going to be doing. So it is, you know, there's a bright side and it's mixed emotions. I feel like that's the best way to put it.
With mixed emotions, we want to announce to our listeners that this is our final episode of Fresh Cut Grass.
It is.
We both of us are going to be moving away from current employment. At Penn State. I, Jeff, will be joining the ranks of retirement very quickly here. After 36 years of time with Penn State University and Cooperative Extension in some way, shape, or form, the time has come for me to move on. And I'm actually going to join your rank, Tanner, of having my own little side business. But I'm not going to activate that until after I retire, so that I don't get crossways with myself. And so I'll be around, but I'm going to step away from Penn State.
Yeah. Oh, it's well deserved, I will say, Jeff. You are well known nationally, and I'd probably say internationally for your expertise. And you know, you and I are going to still remain in contact and friends, obviously, forever. But yeah, for our listeners, it's definitely mixed emotions. So, Jeff, you're going to be stepping away. Do you have a date yet, or is it just later this year? I don't know.
Later this year.
Gotcha. So probably the more timely thing is the fact that I will be leaving sooner than you, Jeff.
Yes, you will be.
Yep. So I'll be transitioning to a role as a consultant with a green industry supplier in Eastern Pennsylvania. So I'm still in the industry. I'll still be doing turf work. I'm happy to help folks. You know, eventually you can get a hold of me. So I'll be still in the industry, but just be stepping away from Penn State.
Yeah, so we will encourage people to continue to use our freshcutgrass at psu.edu email address. We're going to keep that open and operated. I'm going to be around Penn State for a while, and then I'm going to forward that email address to my personal email address so that I get all those. And like Tanner said, we're going to continue to go back and forth between each other. We actually have some common business interests as he moves away and I move away. We have some common business interests, so we'll be in touch probably more than we think we will be. But so we'll keep answering questions for folks that listen to us. Tanner, I was thinking though, let's talk a little. Go ahead.
Yeah, before I will agree with everything you just said, and also that all of our other episodes, our plan is to they should be evergreen and staying up there for, you know, a while. They're not going to be coming down. So if, you know, you want to go back and listen to anything, I would encourage folks to do so. They're not coming down, you know, immediately. I think our goal is to keep them up for several years.
Yep, that is our hope. And yeah. You know, we're kind of relying and thanking our sponsors for the the money that they've supported us with over the last year, because that's how we're going to keep those up there and available for people to continue to download and to spread the word about. We've had a lot of feedback from people as I travel and you travel around the country and see different things and talk to different people. A lot of people, hey, I love your podcast. I listen to it every week. Like our guest last week told us, you know, you helped me get through a lot of windshield time. And I've heard that from a lot of people that run around the country doing the green industry or turf related stuff. So, we have something to be proud of here, Tanner, and I'm not blowing air up our own skirt here, but we've accomplished a lot with this podcast. It kind of started as an answer to the pandemic. When COVID hit, you and I went back and forth trying to figure out a way that we could still communicate with our end users, our customers, so to speak, the turf managers out there and in the world. And you actually are the one that said, hey, let's try a podcast. And I remember talking to a couple of people about it. And they're like, yeah, well, you're going to talk about aerification 1 week, top dressing 1 week, and overseeding 1 week. And then what are you going to talk about the rest of the, you know, after that? We've come up with almost 150 episodes over three seasons. We've had some repeat, some repeat visitors. But for the most part, those are different people every week that we had on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this was a team effort for sure. I mean, the contacts that you have, Jeff, and you have the face for radio or the voice for radio. How do you say
face, it? The face for radio.
Yeah, it's kind of yeah. So I mean, it was definitely a partnership in getting this off the ground and the success of it. I really enjoyed it. It was a fair amount of work, but I think it was very well worth it, especially when you see and you talk to folks like you said that appreciate what we were trying to achieve there. You know, we don't come off as like a hard sell for anything. It's really just information to help folks in their everyday jobs to try to improve. And we covered a ton of different topics. We didn't cover every single thing under the sun, but I think you look at the whole podcast as a whole at the list of the episodes and speakers we have, I think we did a really good job. There's things that we think about doing differently, but you'll have that with anything. Hindsight's always 20/20. I appreciate the relationships that we've made with folks, both listeners and guests on the show. Equally important, one's not better than the other. It's generated a lot of discussion for us when we're at meetings, and I learned a ton. So for sure.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's kind of fascinating to me. The way this whole thing came about. And, I had tried a podcast myself individually back 15 years ago. And it was, first when podcasting first kind of came out and I tried it. I was trying to just for Northwest Pennsylvania. I was, focusing on the weather and the conditions and diseases and insects that I was seeing primarily for green industry, lawn care, sports turf people, golf course superintendents, and it fell flat on its face after about 2 months. I was working hard at it, but podcasting hadn't really hit the market like it has now. I mean, this thing took off like nothing you and I, neither you or I expected. To be able to sit here three seasons later and talk about over 35,000 downloads in 40 different countries, in six different continents. And by the way, I am going to continue to work to try to get a download on that seventh continent. I am going to get one in Antarctica. Even if I have to fly down there myself, I'm going to get one in Antarctica and make sure that we're on all seven continents.
Yeah. No,
I don't think either one of us thought that it would ever grow to what it is.
No, I agree. And it's interesting when we look at, statistics, not that it really doesn't matter. Every episode is important and has some great information. But, looking back at some of the episodes, there's so many of them. But one thing that like stood out to me, just as an example, is like what people find more interesting. And maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just a topic discussion for the type of audience that we have. I thought it was interesting for two guys in Eastern, or we'll just say Pennsylvania, you know, because you're in the Western, I'm in the Eastern, but to have a podcast mostly talking about cool season grass, but we did have some warm season topics, that two of our top four most downloaded episodes are ones that deal with warm season grasses.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, we mixed it up pretty well, though.
We did.
Research on Bermuda. You know, we talked a lot about Bermuda and warm season grasses. We spent a lot of time on it. I think our not only our southern folks, but people that grow warm season grass, those here in the north or the northern regions, I think appreciated the conversation. We've heard it from our listeners that, you know, it kind of pushes the limit on what they would try and what they wouldn't even think about doing.
Yeah. And I look back at, you know, my collegiate days, or at least for when I did my bachelor's degree, you know, but that was 20 or 18 years ago or something. So we don't really learn a whole lot about warm season grass management. So this was very enlightening to see and talk to folks that manage warm season grasses, because we don't really have too much of those right in our Pennsylvania, you know, what we deal with every day. But that line for where Bermuda grass is being grown keeps creeping northward every single, you know, every year. There's more and more. So, you know, 10 years from now, there probably is going to be a fair amount of Bermuda grass fields, at least in southern Pennsylvania. There's already a couple, but I think every year, I doubt it's going to go downward, you know. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, should I say what our most number one downloaded episode is? I have it up here.
Yeah, go for it. You've got those stats up there. Go for
it. And this is a topic that everybody deals with. I wouldn't say I'm surprised at all. It was actually season 2, episode 39, Dealing with Compaction. And the title is Pulling Cores is Not the Only Way. And we had Jared Minnick on. And that was a great episode. Hands down, that was fantastic. So obviously, you know, people are dealing with compaction and wanted to learn more about that. And I think we have several other episodes that dealt and, you know, are beat around that topic and highlight it.
Yeah. And then I think the single most downloaded person, right? The single most downloaded guest, at least in the top 10 episodes, is Erin Wilder from Sod Solutions. She was on twice. She's got two episodes in the top four. So Erin, if you're listening, we have a prize for you, right? That's we'll just leave it at that. We have a really nice little prize for you. For being that same way with Jared too. We'll run into Jared somewhere on the road, tell him that. But you know, I think probably overall, Pete Landscoot is probably the most downloaded because he was on the most times. I think we had Pete on four or five times, just because he's our extension turf grass specialist, here in Pennsylvania, and a wealth of knowledge for you and I, and a great resource for our listeners as well. Coming in probably a real close second had to be Ben McGraw, because Ben was on, you know, every season talking about insects and kind of where we were in the transition and where they were headed and where they were coming from. So, you know, they probably win the most downloads by just by sheer number of times they were on the show. But it's been quite a run.
Yeah. And well, and Dr. Landscoot, I think he's going to be retiring this year at some point as well. We had Dr. McNitt on a few times, who is retired already. So, you know, there's going to be some changes, you know, at Penn State for sure. In the turf program, there's going to be some transition to the next phase with several folks that have left or are shortly leaving. So, but it's been a lot of fun.
So Tanner, I was thinking, I was kind of thinking about what was your favorite episode to do?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this before we hit record, and I'll tell you, it's pretty difficult for me to pick just one. I mean, that's just such a bad answer, right? You want to hear
what
my favorite.
But that's probably the right answer.
It is the right answer, but it's really tough. I mean, so one that there's several that stand out. I don't want to say that one is better than the other, but ones that stand out to me. I always really enjoy talking to both Pete and McNitt. They were both on my committee as well, and that's all done. So I'm not sucking up to them at this point anymore. You know, so I'm basically just, I really enjoy talking to them. Pete's a wealth of knowledge, and so is Andy. But they have a way of really captivating an audience when they speak. So that was very fun. Another one that stood out to me was talking with Matt Schaefer. That is also one of our most downloaded episodes as well. But, you know, he's got the history around Matt and everything that he's done, professionally and for the industry, as a golf course superintendent, which, you know, we don't work a ton with golf course superintendents. We do a fair amount, but not nearly to the level that we do with like athletic field managers and lawn care operators. So talking with him was definitely a treat for sure. How about you?
You know, I'm like you. I won't talk about my favorite episode, but I will say this. My favorites are when we would get into a discussion that was not only humorous, but was very casual, right? So when we were, I love the ones that we were talking about people management. So those kind of come to the surface for me, about managing people, because you can't teach that in a class, right? That is just so much about experience. I think about those episodes, but I think about the ones where we would get into a conversation and all of a sudden I'd look at the clock on the computer and I'd be like, holy mackerel, we've got to cut this off because we're out of time. You know, and it was just good conversation about life. You know, whether it was the kids or whether it was, you know, an internship that they had or whether it was some experience that they had. I'm a very experiential kind of person. So, I live on stories. I get excited when I tell stories and I get excited when I hear stories. So when we would go down those rabbit holes, those were probably my favorite ones.
Yeah. I mean, again, like there's so many, the thing that I think I like these discussions when you run out of time. You know, it's like you look and you're like, my goodness, like we could talk for another hours and hours, but you run out of time. And the other thing to just see that, you know, everybody, we're human, you know, everybody's got their own life experiences and you just, yep. It's amazing the paths that people have taken to get where they are. I find that very interesting to see the journeys that people have made, you know, that didn't go to school to be a turf person and they wind up at being a super successful, you know, professional in our industry.
Right.
And I like discussions about, you know, there's a lot of people that are funny. I like humor and people that are funny and have a knack of just being good people. You know, like you said, Aaron Wilder and, you know, Jimmy Simpson, we've had them on a few times and I really enjoyed talking with those folks as well.
Yeah. It's just good time, good friends. And I think we've made good friends over this, course of these three seasons of Fresh Cut Grass. Hey, so you know the one thing we probably haven't done justice to is three strikes and you're out for you and I. We've answered a lot of those questions over the years and over the seasons, but you know there's a few of those questions. I know a lot about you and you know a lot about me, but because we've gotten to be not only good colleagues, but as you said earlier, good friends, and you know we do things socially outside of work, even though we're, all, you know, we're 250 miles apart. Your wife and my wife, when we go to conferences, they go hang out together and do whatever our wives do when we're learning. But there are just some of those three strikes and you're out that we've done. I mean, you've done the cigar or the cup of coffee or the beer with each other. We've done that. Are there any of those that we need to circle back to for our listeners' benefits? I think there is.
No.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. So I got one for you. If you could hop on a plane and go anywhere, anywhere in the world, all paid for, taken care of, where are you going? Oh, And what are you going to eat when you get there?
Wow. That's a tough one. I feel like, you know, I will say, I think there's a lot to see in this country that I haven't seen. You know, I'm kind of a paranoid person. So, like, Jeff, you're probably like, yeah, okay. Like, you, like, obviously, you probably knew that.
No, I wouldn't back that up.
Like, I'm to a degree, I think, like, ignoring, like, the world global, you know, problems and the fear of like a plane coming down or, you know, that kind of a thing. I'd like to go to Australia, probably. I've never been to Australia. My wife is, you know, she's my best friend and she's been there when she was young and she always says she wants to go back. So I think that would be pretty cool to go to Australia. So obviously we could go, it's a pretty big expense, but I think that's probably where I would go. I like to hunt and fish, but a lot of that is stuff that I could do in the United States, right? Obviously, there's some stuff overseas, but going down to, you know, the continent of Africa and doing a wild safari, that's not really my cup of tea. So I'd probably say to go to Australia. And as far as cuisine and what to eat, I don't really know much about the culture there. I don't know. Do you have any suggestions?
No, I don't, because I've not been there either.
What's that? Oh, you know what? There is something. What is it? Vegemite, I think Lauren told me.
We've actually talked about Vegemite on the show.
Yeah, that doesn't interest me at all. I do not want to have that.
Yeah, no, I had the opportunity and turned that opportunity down. Australia was at the Little League World Series. I think it was last year. They come every year, but I think last year ESPN was doing a little piece on them and they had some Vegemite and I saw the announcer's reaction to tasting it, and then he brought it over to us and said, "Hey, do you guys want to try this?" And I'm like, "No, I'm all right. I watched the show. I don't need to have that reaction to myself."
Were you going to be on film? Would you have been on film trying it or no?
No, it would not have been. He was on film doing it.
Okay,
and the coaches and players were having fun with it as well, so it wouldn't have been all that bad. But it was. It's interesting that you say that that's your choice because, Tanner, that was going to be my answer too.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds like we both go.
Maybe we need to just get together. And we've actually interacted very closely with some listeners from Australia who download us. They're the second most downloaded country we have, Australia, on Fresh Cut Grass. So maybe we need to go down there, make do like an international tour of Fresh Cut Grass and go down there. And I'm with you. I don't know what I would eat when I'm there, but it would be native type food because I've traveled quite a bit. The other place I need to go, and I'm going to knock them out here pretty soon, right after retirement, is Hawaii and Alaska so that I can take all 50 U.S. states and check them off.
Yeah, I've been to Alaska, so I would love to go back to Alaska. That was a lot of, it was beautiful. We went in August, and I think that's a good time to go because it wasn't cold, but it was well worth it. I have not been to Hawaii yet.
Yeah, we have interacted with a listener in Alaska on a fairly regular basis for a while. We had a listener up there that was shooting us emails and going back and forth looking for some information as well. So kind of things we've reached out and touched over the course of our three seasons.
For sure. I don't know. Do they eat kangaroo? Like, I don't know. Is that like a dish? I don't know. Not that I'm saying I would want to, but I'm just curious. Like, you think about Alaska, what do you think about? You know, I guess there's probably a fair amount of fish in the diet, I guess, because of it being an island, or I don't know. Is Australia considered an island? I think it is.
It's got water all the way around it. I think if I remember back to eighth grade geography, I think that makes it an island.
Fair enough.
I think.
Well, I know it has water.
I probably ought to call Mr. Duffy, who was my eighth grade geography teacher, and see.
Yeah.
What else have kind of been highlights for you through this? You know, we've talked about the connections, we've talked about the friendships. You know, I'll tell you, one of my biggest what I'll call compliments, is when people tell me, when they see me speaking at an event, and they'll say, "Hey, I love your podcast," because you and I both open all of our talks, either start or end our presentations with, "Hey, don't forget we have this podcast with information." And I think that's helped. Done some marketing with some stickers and some other things that have, I think, marginally worked to help people remember us and find us. But one of the greatest compliments I ever had on this podcast is one that you'll go, "No way." But it was when your son mocked me and does the introduction of "Hello and welcome to this." What, he had heard us do that enough as he would have been probably 3-year-old at the time, that I have him on video when the stickers first came to us from our marketing department. I sent you your supply and I kept my supply, and you sent me a video, and he's got one posted right on his chest, right on his shirt, and he's doing the "Hello." Like, I think we've made impact on this kid's life.
Absolutely. Every once in a while, he still says that "Hello."
Yeah, that's funny. And then during the pandemic, or you know, when he was home and mom was off working, and you were keeping him busy and occupied while we recorded, he would come on the show before we hit record or after we hit record, and we'd have good conversations. So Maverick would, Maverick's my biggest fan. I like it.
Perfect. So a question I was going to ask you that I think I asked one time, but I'm curious if your response would have been, if you had to identify as a grass, what grass would you identify as?
Oh.
Like, if you were going to be transformed into a grass and you're going to live the rest of your life as a grass, which one are you going to be? Who did I ask? Cooney? I think I asked Cooney that, and he said Poa, right? Was that who that was?
Yeah. He said, I think it was Cooney.
Because it never Poa. Goes away?
Yeah. So, that's interesting. I have a couple of, my answer is longer than just saying one variety or one species.
Okay.
So in my younger days, I would have said that I was Bermuda. Pretty aggressive, hard to knock down, kind of, you know, always pushing the edge, you know, literally pushing the edge like Bermuda does, right? Pushes the edge on where it's supposed to be and where it's not supposed to be. But as I've gotten older and matured a little bit more, I probably would identify as a very beautiful variety of turf type tall fescue, a pretty deep rooted, pretty good looking, you know, I don't need much. I don't need much food. I don't need sun. There's a lot of things that I don't need that Bermuda does need. Yeah, it's probably a two part answer. Up until I had cancer, I was Bermuda, pretty much on the edge. And then I realized when I was sick that there were things more important than the things I was doing in my life, and then probably became tall fescue.
Fair enough.
How about you?
Seashore paspalum.
You've obviously given this some thought.
Only the last like 10 seconds. So I never
you knew how that was going to come back to you, right?
Well, I kind of anticipated it would. I don't know, it's something different. I'm not gonna, not because of like, you gave a really well thought out in-depth explanation.
Mine, yeah, right is, on the edge of my right on the tip of my tongue too, right?
Yeah, well, for me, I, you know, I felt seashore paspalum before, and it has a different feel to it, in my opinion. Like, it just feels a little, I never managed it. I never played on it, but I remember it just has a different feel. It's, you know, resistant or somewhat resistant to salt spray. You know, it lives near the ocean. My wife loves the ocean. So, and I couldn't imagine being you know, not with her or around her. So to make her happy, I'm going to say seashore past Balaam.
A little salty.
Oh, yeah. No, see here, I can tolerate that. So that's the thing. You know, I can tolerate the saltiness. But that being said, you know, kind of on the on those terms, you had said tall fescue. I will say for a cool season grass, that's probably my favorite grass, or a lawn. You know, if I look at a property that's got really dense population of tall fescue, that's probably what I would say my favorite grass would be.
So would you identify as it, or would you just, is it just your favorite grass?
Nah, it's just probably my favorite grass.
See, you're not old enough to be deep-rooted and really set in your ways yet, and you're still change.
I'm probably more like Poa right now. Pretty stubborn. I don't go away. You know.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of Poa growing in my Bermuda too. That was pretty aggressive and pretty stubborn. That's probably a good combination of grass for me too.
So, for sure. Yeah, when the weather gets tough, you know, you kind of don't really like it. Like the snow, I do not like the snow.
Yeah, we know that. We Hey, Tanner, there's snow on the forecast for next week. All right, well, I can't go anywhere for the next three then.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, here, so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for me, if I didn't go anywhere when it snowed, I'd never leave after Labor Day and wouldn't be able to go back out until Memorial Day.
That's true.
So anyway, true. you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say, you know, talking about turf, you know, what would be, you have any like parting things that you'd like to say from an advice standpoint for a turf management? You know, this is a turf management podcast. Do you have any overarching kind of like advice or things that you've, something that you've seen that you say, this is the best thing I can tell you to do? I mean, do you want me to go first?
So that's an awesome question, and it's probably a great way to sign off, right, from Fresh Cut Grass, because I've learned a pile of stuff over my years, and I'm trying to craft an answer while I stubbornly and kind of awkwardly talk through this. So I'll say this. The most important resource that turf managers have is the people around them, whether they're coworkers or whether they're, you know, that do the same thing. So we're on the same crew. You know, we work together, right? So take care of those people, not just with thank yous, but with, you know, showing great appreciation, making sure they're paid, you know, paid properly and, you know, taken care of in that regard. Remember those five love languages that just our very last guest talked about, just last week talked about, right? There's five different ways that people communicate, right? And you need to know what those five ways are, you know, affirmation, quality, give them a gift, show them service, and a physical touch. Just know your employees, know your coworkers, know the people that work around you, because they're the most important thing to you. The turf part of it is easy, right? Give it a little food, give it a little water, give it a little sunshine. It's going to do its thing. So taking care of those people would be number one. Number two, make sure that you communicate your needs. So you can know all of the stuff that we've talked about. You can know all, you can be a PhD in turf grass management, but if you can't communicate with those people, whether they're above you, below you, beside you, wherever they are, so make sure that your communication skills, that you're the best communicator that you know how to be. And then probably last would be, you know, pay attention to the basic agronomic practices that we talked about all the time on this show. But the number one thing is mowing, right? It's the most important practice that we probably didn't talk about enough on this show. There was a study at Michigan State about 25 years ago now, maybe 20, that they did up there that showed that the single practice that had the greatest impact on quality of grass was an additional mowing a week. So if you're mowing twice a week or mowing once a week, mow twice a week, and the quality of your turf would improve more than any other single practice that you could do. That includes aerification, top dressing, overseeding, all those things, mowing, simple practice of mowing. So what does that mean? That means I've got to have the mower, the right equipment, right, to be able to mow that additional time a week. That doesn't mean taking my zero turn out there with a 54-inch swath to mow my 10-acre complex. It means making sure that you've communicated with your people, right? Those resources that we just talked about, making sure that you have the resources to buy the equipment that you need to do your job and do it right. And that may mean investing in a more industrial commercial size mower so that you can mow that one additional time without adding more time to the time chart, right? You don't want to go out with a push mower and have to mow your baseball field an additional time or your football field an additional time. So you got to get a mower that you can do it with. And lastly, it's probably the very first thing is make sure that you use the resources around you, right? Use the neighboring school district or use the neighboring lawn care company or call on your colleagues. I have not found anyone in this industry, the turf industry, that has ever told me, I can't tell you that. You know, I won't tell you that. You know, I have that information, but I won't share it with you. It's such a passion-driven industry that I think people just share information willingly across borders, across companies, back and forth, sharing knowledge that they've learned from experiential learning. So ask somebody else. If you're not sure, ask somebody. If nothing else, shoot us an email, freshcutgrass@psu.edu, and we'll shoot that out to somebody or we'll answer it. But rely on the networks of people that you either have built or need to build.
Yep.
That was a really long answer, but that's what I got.
So I wrote a few things down myself, and you've hit on a lot of these. A good segue that, I have at the top of my paper, folks can't see it, but the first thing I wrote down is you are not alone, in everything that you do outside of turf, anything, life, you're not alone. But as far as turf is concerned, I encourage everyone to be active, ask questions. I guarantee you, you can call me, you can call Jeff. We're just, two of thousands of resources that are out there in our industry that can, help you arrive at the goal that you wish to intend at. Also, join a local organization. I think being a part of something bigger than yourself is so important and rewarding, and the relationships that you build. I mean, I can't even begin to think about the relationships that I've had because of the willingness that I had from the get-go to be involved in other things. I mean, it takes a little initiative on your own part at first, but there are so many things that follow along after you become part of an organization, whether that be a local Little League organization or a community organization or a state or national organization like CAFMA or LCAP or SFMA, any something like that, because there's just so many resources that are available to you and great people. And again, volunteer. I think volunteerism is so important that I feel like I see less of it these days, but it kind of varies by, what we're talking about, but I think volunteerism is really important. And Jeff could talk for days about volunteerism and the benefits that you get out of that. So I think that's important. And being honest with yourself, I think is really important. Don't, it kind of dovetails into the fact that you're not alone, but also understand that you're going to make mistakes. We make mistakes and you don't know everything. So being honest with yourself and understand that mistakes do happen. But the biggest thing is, how do you recover from that mistake and what do you learn? Believe me, I know how to kill grass. I know how to kill turf.
We've studied it in depth, haven't we?
Exactly. And I don't mean intentionally. So, but a lot of that stems from experience. You know, that's why talking with other folks on what to do, what not to do, not necessarily that someone else is the expert, but just to, I love calling people. I mean, I called someone yesterday about a fertilizer question that, you know, I kind of knew the answer to, but I like to get confirmation of like, no, you'll be okay if you do that. So, I mean, I eat, sleep, and breathe turf all the time, but I don't know anything. And I don't vouch to act like I do, because I definitely don't. And I know how to kill grass unintentionally. And I've talked about that on this podcast. Also, don't be afraid to try stuff. You know, you don't always get locked into just because it's the way you've done it all your life doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way. It might be a way, but it might not be the right way. Or I shouldn't even say it's not that it's not the right way, but be open to change. Believe me, I am a person that really doesn't like change a whole lot. I'm pretty apprehensive to it, but I'm willing to try new things. And sometimes it's for the better and sometimes it's not, but at least you learn something along the way. I mean, look, life is short. We're only on this spinning rock for so long. So try to make the best of it and be kind. I think that's something, the relationships that you have with other folks, whether it be in the industry, with your family, with your friends in the community, I think being kind is something that we need a lot more of in this world. So as far as turf is concerned, I'm getting a little choked up thinking about some of this stuff, Jeff. It's our last episode. But if we talk about turf, and turf maintenance, mowing is something that we always circle back to. Before the podcast today, I was talking about some fields that I'm helping some folks out with, trying to get more turf on them. We try to make these fields safe for our kids. And in order to do that, we spend a lot of money and a lot of time on materials. Things aren't going to probably get any cheaper. We spend a lot of money on seed, but you put seed down. Don't mow. Oh, that's like one of my biggest things is when you put seed down, don't go over it with a mower. And, you know, that's one of the things that I feel like I'm always talking to, especially when we talk about sports fields, folks not blowing over the seed with a blower. I mean, you're literally displacing all of that seed, no matter what, even if you slit seed it or you aerate and put it in the hole, some of that wind movement from that, all of that mower going over it is going to displace some of that. Another thing is soil testing. That's something that I think a lot of us could benefit more from. We overlook that a lot. For years, I've been in this industry for almost 20 years, and it's something that I'm trying to get better at. Last year, I took the initiative and I soil tested like 90 or 100 different places. And I think I mentioned on here that in my area in Eastern Pennsylvania, I soil tested, I don't know, I think at one time it was like 70, and 69 of them needed lime because the pH was so low. I saw pHs as low as 4.3. That's going to be a challenge to grow grass. All right. So,
right.
And a lot of times you don't know by looking at it that the pH is wrong. It's not something that you can just look at or you can taste, even though I guess there are some farmers that claim that they can taste acidity in their soil, but I'm not into eating worm poop personally, so I'm not going to do that. So I think using your resources is important. I challenge folks to also, something that I think lacks out there, including myself, is you should know how much, if you're fertilizing turf, you should know how much nitrogen you are giving that turf in a year. That's important. I mean, a lot of times if turf is tepid and yellow and slow, there's something probably wrong, right? I mean, that's not the natural state of turf, really, typically. I mean, obviously, if it's a situation where you don't want to fertilize it, that's one thing. But there are ways to improve your turf, and soil testing is kind of a fundamental aspect of it. So the soil is the medium in which we grow all of our crops, everything. So that's really important. So, and we put a lot of things into the soil that can modify them, whether for the benefit or for the negative. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do that can be negative to the turf or to the soil. So you know, not getting into specific practices. I mean, obviously aeration, we could talk about that, the importance of that. But I challenge folks to try to be, you know, a little bit more scientific in their approach. And you should know what your inputs are. Sorry, that was a long-winded answer as well.
No, that's all right. That's my, it's kind of the way mine was too. It's tough to kind of summarize and share with our listeners, you know, what's important to us, because it's all important to us, or we wouldn't be talking about it. Tanner, I hate to do this, but I think it's time.
It is. But it's not goodbye. It's just, we'll see, we'll talk to folks next time, and they can, you know, reach you. You know, you mentioned at the beginning about your intentions and I mentioned mine. I mean, we're both still going to be active and in the industry. We're not, you know, moving to Bermuda going away. So I'll be in the area. I'm still in Pennsylvania. I'm not even moving. So I'm still in the area. I'm happy to help. You know, we're both going to be doing different roles in consulting. We're not competitors. We're going to be working together. So I encourage folks, if they want to get a hold of us, we're still able to help. Look, my whole thing, what I tell, I will never turn someone down looking for help ever. I don't care if you're looking, you know, I'm not trying to sell someone something, you know, to try to make some money. I just want to help people improve their turf, improve their lives, whatever it can be, because our time here is short.
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm going to do it for the last time. I'll remind our listeners that they can get a hold of us at our email address. It's freshcutgrass@psu.edu. I'd say if you have any ideas for future episodes, but that's not the case anymore because this is our last one. But if you do have questions, if you're listening to an episode and you've run into a question, shoot us an email, freshcutgrass@psu.edu. Tanner, I'm going to let you sign off, but before you do, I'm going to say, thank you to all of our listeners that we've had over these fantastic 3 years of producing this show, for all the interaction we've had with them. As we alluded to during the show, it's kind of fun to go and people talk to you about an episode and you know they're listening because they'll ask specific questions about what we talked about on a show, maybe, you know, a month ago or 6 weeks ago. So that's been fantastic. I think made a lot of friends and a lot of acquaintances. And I think probably more importantly than that is we've built a lot of friendships, not only with the industry, but with each other. That I think that friendship has matured over the course of the last 3 years while we do these episodes. So with that, Tanner, I'm going to sign off and let you send everybody home for the final time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, I echo everything that you said. It's been a great journey. And we're just moving on to the next, you know, phase of our careers and our life. Everyone that's listened, I sincerely appreciate every second that you've spent with us. I hope to cross paths in the future with many of you or all of you. I'm happy to do that. And also, I want to thank all of the speakers and guests that we've had on here, ranging from all over the world, and I appreciate their time. So again, all of these episodes are not going away. You can still access them and reach us. But other than that, I appreciate everything that, you know, our listeners have done for us and the compliments and the suggestions. So with that, thank you very much. And we'll see you all in the future.
Hey, Tanner, before I hit stop record, what do you think about a Fresh Cut Grass 2? We'll come back in our new life with Fresh Cut Grass edition 2.
It might be something. It might be something we can tackle.
This episode of Fresh Cut Grass has been brought to you by The Toro Company. For over 100 years, The Toro Company has been a leader in innovative solutions to turf maintenance. Through a strong network of professional distributors, Toro proudly offers a wide range of commercial-grade equipment. Be sure to visit Toro.com to explore their full lineup of products.